This is Today in History, March the 22nd. On this day in 1638, religious dissident Anne Hutchinson was expelled from the Massachusetts Bay Colony for defying Puritan orthodoxy. Also on this day in 1765, the British Parliament passed the Stamp Act to raise money from the American colonies, which fiercely resisted the tax. On this day in 1894, hockey's first Stanley Cup championship game was played. Home team Montreal defeated Ottawa 3-1. On this day in 1933, during Prohibition, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a measure to make wine and beer containing up to 3.2% alcohol legal. On this day in 1958, movie producer Mike Todd, the husband of actress Elizabeth Taylor, and three other people were killed in the crash of Todd's private plane near Grants, New Mexico. Also on this day in 1978, Carl Willenda, the 73-year-old patriarch of the Flying Willenda's High Wire Act, fell to his death while attempting to walk a cable strung between two hotel towers in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
The idea was to promote a circus act he was performing with his granddaughter. So, a high wire walk across the street from one beachfront hotel to another. But as he reached halfway, the ocean wind suddenly picked up, gusting to 30 knots. And Carl Willenda, the best man in the world on a high wire, fought for his balance. 200 people saw Willenda fall. Many rushed to help, but it was too late. Willenda's body had struck a parked taxi. He was dead on arrival at the hospital.
Also on this day in 1988, both houses of Congress overrode President Ronald Reagan's veto of the Civil Rights Restoration Act. On this day in 1991, high school instructor Pamela Smart, accused of recruiting her teenage lover and his friends to kill her husband Gregory, was convicted in Exeter, New Hampshire, of murder, conspiracy, and being an accomplice to murder, and was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Pamela Smart admitted that she has made a lot of mistakes since the May 1st, 1990 murder of her husband, but she maintained she had nothing to do with the plot to murder him.
And on this day in 1930, Stephen Sondheim is born. Stephen Sondheim, one of the last giants of the American musical theater to work in a style not influenced by rock and roll, was born in New York City on March 22nd, 1930. Sondheim and the work he created helped revolutionize the Broadway musical in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. When Sondheim was a child, the musicals that dominated Broadway theater were of precisely the kind that his own work would later subvert, the kind filled with feather boas, top hats, chorus lines, and big show-stopping production numbers. Yet it was just such a musical, 1939's Very Warm for May, which first inspired a 9-year-old Stephen Sondheim to pursue a career in musical theater. His childhood was comfortable only in the material sense. The child of relatively well-to-do Manhattan parents, he grew up in an apartment on Central Park West, but the home was not a very happy one. Sondheim's parents divorced bitterly when he was 10, and Stephen was left to live with a mother whom he would later speak openly of despising. The relationship that had the biggest positive effect on Sondheim's future was with the family of a friend he made shortly after his parents' divorce. That friend, Jamie Hammerstein, was the son of the legendary Broadway lyricist and playwright Oscar Hammerstein II, who nurtured the young Sondheim's interest in the theater and led him through a rigorous, if informal, apprenticeship as a teenager. Though Sondheim entered Williams College as a math major, he left with a degree in music and a desire to become both a lyricist and a composer. His big break came just 5 years into his professional career when he was chosen to write the lyrics for a new show called West Side Story, which would run for 732 performances in its original production on Broadway. Next came another assignment as lyricist on Gypsy, before finally getting the chance to launch a show for which he wrote both words and music, the comedy A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. While those early works were probably enough to assure both his financial independence and his reputation as a great Broadway talent, the argument for Stephen Sondheim as a great American artist is based more on his works of the 70s and 80s. Company, Follies, A Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd, and Sunday in the Park with George. These shows, which tackled such non-traditional subjects as pointillist painting and Victorian cannibalism, established Sondheim as one of musical theater's greatest and most iconoclastic innovators. An American musical theater giant is born. Stephen Sondheim, March 22nd, 1930, on this day in history.
Knock, open the latch. Something's coming, don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed catch.